you for coming here and flying all this way and making yourself available. Ever since I've served in the legislature, we've never had a presentation like this from Westlaw or from any of the other companies, and it's valuable to us as members of the committee, because when we're researching bills, there's a lot of things out there, a lot of information that could really be helpful to us in doing our work to try to uncover, you know, what other states are doing or what case law says on things. And I think lawmakers get so busy in their job, and it's such an intimidating task to think about what is Westlaw and how does it work, that a lot of times we don't spend the time that we should learning how to use the resource. So thanks for coming. And and you guys all know, if you all met everybody, I guess you probably don't need to introduce yourself again. So.
We've had
we'll talk to
Madam
the,
Chairman.
Yes.
I'm Paul Richards, and I have a real pleasure in kind of introducing. We said, how is this going to go today?
Yeah.
And I said, well, hopefully it'll be very informal in exchange. But I'm very pleased to represent Thompson West and Westlaw and be able to at least help get this set up through your staff for judiciary to listen to what they have to present today. And Alan Malloy, on my left, is the regional sales manager, which covers Alaska for Thompson West. And he's been in Alaska and lived here for 15 years. So we're glad to be talking to another Alaskan presenting this program today. So we expect, hopefully, there's a lot of questions to the things they're going to present, kind of an interchange of ideas, and that everybody goes away with being better informed. And they're the 130-year history of publishing, and I think that what they say will speak for itself today. And I just want to thank you for having the committee.
Thank you, Paul.
Great. Thanks, Paul. I'm certainly know Tom and Lee's role, and they have a familiarity with West through their legal background. As we were preparing for the meeting today, I wanted to recognize that there were some folks on the committee that don't have that legal background. So I wanted to, one, at least
which makes
try and
smarter, by the way. More insightful.
So for those that aren't attorneys, West and Thompson can be kind of an obscure business or obscure industry, because you may not really know all that we do. So I figured I'd just kind of start from there. First off, like Paul mentioned, I'm a 15-year Alaska resident. I moved away 2 years ago to take on the Northwest, so I live now in Vancouver, Washington, but I can certainly appreciate you folks being here on a sunny August day, because I know that the other shoe is going to fall with the R word before too long. So I appreciate you guys willing to spend a summer day here, one of the last of them with us. What Thompson is, and Thompson West, but actually we are one of the divisions of Thompson, and Thompson is the global information leader in the fields of legal and regulatory information, tax, accounting, financial information, and scientific and healthcare information. And what we provide is must-have information that our users can make better decisions faster. We support over 20 million users across the globe right now, and our 2004 revenues were $8.1 billion, which was a 9% increase over last year. So that's Thompson Global, and the legal and regulatory division of which myself and Rick and Joe represent. We are in the division that has 17,000 employees with over $3 billion in revenue, and we are the largest division within Thompson West. To try and drill that down even further as to what West is and Thompson West does, Ralph Samuels, we met in the elevator, and he said, you know, I was looking through the agenda here, and I said, Thompson West, Westlaw. I know Westlaw through Law and Order. So essentially, if you've seen Law and Order, then you've probably seen these reporters on the, in the in the bookcase behind the judge. And so that's what we do, is we publish cases, statutes, and code, and all of the secondary information that help attorneys do a better job for their clients. And so in Alaska, we publish the Alaska Reporter, have for years and years and years, and the only reporter of that. And then we publish something called the Alaska Digest, which helps attorneys drill down and find out information in terms of relevant case law and such. So that, I hope, gives you kind of a perspective of what West is. And then what we want to do is we want to talk to you specifically about the state statutes, the publication of that, because that's a contract that is coming up for review this year, in this session. So, yes?
Alan, I'm going to interrupt because I think the reason that you called this meeting is more so the first part and not so much the second part. You're not here to lobby or to advocate for any procurement of anything, because you know that would be improper. But I think, and when you called me, and I appreciate your attendance here, your point of this meeting is informational, because the majority of information sources we use as legislators, whether it be the Alaska Digest or the Reporter, statutes in the past, West does those, West Law, which is profound for I think folks that have gone to law school and not. I don't think legislators and staff, but some of the ones here do, but understand just the magnitude and parameter upon which we can use West. And this is the first time, and it's kind of, I think it's unique and innovative on your part and Pulse, that you say, hey, we want to come and let you know this is our service. When you go over to legal services in Juneau, you don't necessarily have to call them. You can walk over to the library and you can do the research yourself. And by the way, what we give you through the contract, you also have access to newspapers throughout the nation, and you also have access to law review articles, which are very informative. And I think you're going over that, and your guys' time is appreciated to fly all the way here and talk about this, because no one's ever done that before.
Right.
I mean,
great. Perfect. And
that
so
I'm aware of.
And so we have a cast of characters here that are able, willing, and able to do that. So the two gentlemen that are here, Joe Kubis is our director of government relations, who works with state governments across the entire country, and then Rick Brown, who is the director of the publishing of our codes and content. So with that, from an overview of who we are, and drill that down even more specifically into West Law, is right on the mark here. So great. So with that,
take it next, and thank you very much for inviting us here. It was certainly no hardship to get on a plane and come here. It was a pleasure.
Hey,
and
Rick, before you started, we didn't note, but we do have online, I think, Representative Cott's office in Juneau that is hearing what's going on now.
Judy, are you there?
That's what I was told.
Okay, great.
And I wanted to make sure.
I think that's why we have the mics, is because we're online teleconference. Or otherwise,
we
wouldn't use them.
That's the reason I wanted to mention it before they got started, because somebody is at a distance hooked up and listening to what
you told us that earlier. And
sorry to interrupt you.
No, and if you are there, Judy, we'll get you the pictures as well.
Okay.
She's muted, so she's listening.
Okay, good. Well, hi, Judy.
It is great to be here. And it's nice of you, as Alan points out, on a day like this, to be inside, to listen to us talk about statutes and things. My kids wouldn't do it, I know that. Very generous. I appreciate it. I want to talk to you a little bit. We talked about Thompson in the larger sense and the billion of dollars that go through that huge corporate structure area. I want to talk to you about West specifically and about what we do and what we've been doing for a long time. This is the past of West. In fact, that's me, the guy with the bald spot there, just in the, it's a 19th century photo, I think.
Yeah.
But this is our old headquarters in St. Paul. We've been publishing especially case law since 1879, I think is the date on that. And we've been doing it continuously. In 1996, was it, Joe?
Yes.
We series of mergers and acquisitions resulted in the West as it exists today, and that includes Lawyers Co-op from Rochester, New York, Bancroft, Whitney, Clark, Borden, Callahan, some huge, huge legal publishers. When I started at West, which was 30 years ago, right out of law school, our biggest competitor was Lawyers Co-op, and they were known as the premier provider of analytical law, of ALR and AMJUR. Those were Lawyers Co-op products. West was always known for its case law and its statutes. We had statutes in about half the state, and we had case law everywhere. When these two companies merged, along with the other ones that you saw here, we really did create, we think, the most a real juggernaut of legal information. This is where we ply our trade. This is where Joe and I go to work in the morning. It's on about 6 acres of land in Eagan, Minnesota. We've got offices in other places across the country. We have our publishing right on site. Huge, huge printing and bindery out there with huge warehouses. 1.3 million square feet. It's all under one roof. I don't know how many acres that consists of, but it is an incredibly large facility. We hope you'll come and visit us. And we have a variety of, the printing business has changed in those 30 years that I've been working in this industry. We've gone from hot lead and linotype operators to an extraordinary computer-operated presses that not only do huge jobs, they do small jobs, so that we have great flexibility and we do things of all sizes and for all kinds of needs, for all kinds of markets.
One of the the unique things about West is we have that 1.3 million square foot manufacturing facility, and connected to that is our 900,000 square foot office. And so everything that we do takes place under one roof. We don't do any subcontracting out of the products that we put together. We've got the editorial folks that put the products together. They're in the office building. It goes across to the manufacturing folks who build the books and turn it into a tangible product. And that's really a strength on our part. We're not relying on outside sources to do what we do.
And Alan, isn't that a salient aspect of it in the context? Think of when you fly. And you say, okay, I won't use an airline, but one that we use common here, you could call them and you could say, hey, I have a question about your boardroom. Okay, we'll connect you to this city. I want to make a reservation, and I just called someone earlier, got disconnected. Well, you're in a different city now. When you're not centralized and have questions, whether they be technical, in that case for ticketing, whatever the case may be, isn't that aspect, is that unique in your company? Compared to others where you're all centralized for a company that size?
Well, certainly. I think what you'll see through the centralized in our flagship product that Rick has up there is West Law. And there are over 35,000 databases now on West Law that are searchable. So everything is centralized. So it is the largest collection of legal information in the world right there on that.
Right, and we have, on our site, we have a reference attorney resource for folks who are doing research on West Law. They can't find what they're looking for. You can call up West and actually talk to an attorney who knows West Law backwards and forwards to help you find what you're looking for. Those folks reside in Eagan. If you're having...
When you say, excuse me for interrupting, reference attorney resource, that means... scores of reference attorneys. It's a huge, huge department.
I'm like, wait.
And the same thing with our customer and technical support service. Those folks are right there in Eagan, so if you're having problems with getting software to work, things like that, again, you're talking to the same folks under the one roof. And the reference attorney people will often transfer, a customer right, next door to the customer service people if for some reason the problem isn't a searching problem, but it's a software problem. So it's all interconnected, and it's all under one roof, which really gives us just an incredible level of control over the process. And when we get into contracts and publishing products under contract, we have a great ability to move things around, to assure that we're making delivery dates, to assure that we're, making the right that these things reach the right level of quality. All that sort of thing is within our direct control, which I think is it's a real plus for us.
And we work with each other well because we are all in one place. Tom has had people working for him that are all about making customers happy. We have people work for me to build the product and on the editorial side, and we work very closely together. So we have the print flexibility is really extraordinary. And now we have this is the way our statutes look online now, and it was about the last 18 months. We spent a lot of time, a lot of energy, and a lot of money presenting our statutory material in a more user-friendly way. And Joe's going to go through this stuff with you in a minute, but it is something that we're very proud of. We think is a real distinguishing factor for us now. It's not just the content, which is our...
He came up to Alaska, and he was a big Alaska fan.
The way we presented it, that makes it easy to access it. I mentioned 1879. That was the date when the West brothers started publishing case law.
The story.
And we published case law in every state through our regional reporter systems, the Pacific Reporter, the Northwest Reporter, the Southwest Reporter, and so forth.
But I thought,
as Alan pointed out, statewide reporter as well.
So what that means is we have a staff of attorneys who, in Alaska, for example, they are reading every single reported case from the Alaska Court of Appeals and the Alaska Supreme Court to put into these reporter publications that you see right there. While they are doing that, reading that material, they're also looking at these cases from the perspective of, do these cases construe any statutes? If they do, then those case law editors electronically transmit that case to the statutes editor, who look at it and say, okay, this case needs to go into our statute set, and they pick the spot and the reference point for those to go in. So, you know, we're the only publisher that is going through the cases in that level of detail, and that gives us the unique ability to assure that there's no case that is germane that is missed and not referenced in a statute set.
I think an underlying thing that we want to mention is that one of the things that 79 from these reporters allows us to do what Joe's talking about is that West began a way to codify all of the law, to look at all of the case law that comes out and essentially develop its own research system so that you can drill down and find points of law that you're looking for, whether it be commercial law or business law or environmental. And then it drills down into further subcategories. We call that the key number system. And the key number system is unique in the publishing world. It is the standard. Law is codified. And it allows us to determine whether or not a statute is going to be construed. And it's unique and proprietary to West.
Personally, I would like
to do a decimal point
system. Mm-hmm.
They're in a
taxonomy.
Public library.
Exactly.
Yep.
And it's very, very precise and very granular. There are 90,000 different key numbers in the system. There are 410 topics or something like that. 90,000 different key numbers that are possible. So that's a really an incredible finding. If you find a note that is exactly on point, you can find other notes that are exactly like it by use of that key number system.
It is what we when I mentioned that we help people find make better decisions faster. That's what allows them to do that. Because once you find your point, and Joe will probably go over this. Once you find your point of law, then you drill into that, and then you can see all of the relevant case law or statutes that deal with that point of law in any jurisdiction in the land.
And go to a local artist.
I noticed that, like, the Pacific Territory is much larger than the others. Do you have the territories developed because statutes are similar in those areas?
Now, this one is, these particular publications are entirely case law. And I think that it's as much as anything kind of historical accident. I mean, this is something that started out so that the difference between the Atlantic Reporter and the Northeast Reporter is a distinction that no one alive could really explain very well. It just is what it is, I think. They're rough geographical things, but they aren't based on any similarities in either case law or statutory law. They really are just a...
I think when they were first doing this, it was more of a case of they wanted to keep the sets of books roughly the same.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you'll find that the Brown there in the Midwest, you know, even though it's just six or seven states, that the volume of cases reported out of there is large and roughly equivalent to what you'll see in those other jurisdictions. So it kind of balances it out. It was really sort of a volume type thing. Because, for example, you don't see a lot of Utah cases. I mean, they have cases, but not on the level of volume that you would see in, like, a New York or something.
There was a time before online research when the subscription list for each of these would have been pretty close to the same. I think that has as much to do with it.
And then we also wanted to, it would be nice to see California's reporter separate from the rest of the nation so we could submit it to Ripley's Believe It or Not.
Exactly. In recent years, this is a map that shows where we have our own proprietary annotated statutes product. And we now have 41 of them. The U.S. Code, USCA, the District of Columbia, where we're the official publisher under contract now, plus 39 other states. We're getting down to only a few. This map is getting redder all the time, and in the last 8 or 9 years, we've added 14 new annotated codes. We've been developing new annotated codes. And in doing that, we have leveraged our history as a case law publisher. And use all of the resources with the merger with the Lawyers Co-op, with our West's own history of case law publishing, to create these statutory annotated statutory products that really look and feel different. We'll talk more about that. The case law piece is important. We've got the Central Headnotes Database, is what they call it back at West, and there are 25 million headnotes that West attorneys have written over all these years to summarize the law in each of these cases that we've been publishing, and those headnotes are what we use to annotate our statutory products. There's more blue here than I like to see, and this obviously is not to scale. That AK is a shamefully
small.
We had to fit it onto the screen, though. You know, but we could get a lot of red onto that screen with one selfie. Now, what we want to talk about is what our statutory products could look like and how that's different. These are all editorial enhancements that are included in every West statute product. United States Supreme Court reference. These are references to Supreme Court cases that took place outside of the jurisdiction. We have uniform laws, commentary that we reference. We reference law review commentaries. And that next line of ALR and AMJUR, a lot of those Lawyers Co-op products that are now part of our family. United States Code, we reference the administrative code in each jurisdiction. It is also important information to link people to, whether you're working online or in print. Historical notes describing the legislative history, the cross-references to other statutory material within the same statutory set. And these two at the top are really the two that we feel are most important to a West product. The notes of decision, and those are where we use those headnotes. These are the case law summaries that we use to provide interpretation for what that statute means, and then the index. And the index is something that we can talk about this later or not, but we've done a lot of market research, and we found that it's at somewhere in the range of 90 to 95% people say that those top two bullets are the things that really matter the most. These things are really essential. And the index is something we spend a lot of money on doing, and the notes of decisions we spend a lot of money on. I'll talk or not, I don't know how much of this you can stand. I want Joe to show you now what this looks like online and how it can work for us online. And please ask us questions if there are any doubts about what it is that we're trying to describe to you.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to just maybe... If there's any at any point, I want you to feel free to stop us here and ask questions, because I know that we'll probably get into some areas that aren't quite as familiar to folks, and I want to assure that we're not, you know, talking over anyone anyone's head here in terms of what we're trying to do. Essentially, I want to go back to this slide.
You might want to do an overview of
West
Law, just as the Alaska.
Yeah. Essentially, what we're trying to, what Rick tried to walk you through here are really the things that we do as a publisher that we think really separate us from the rest. And, for example, if we were ever to publish the Alaska Statutes to be your book publisher, we would look to integrating all of these types of sources and references into that publication with a goal towards making that publication a more efficient and effective resource. How many times have you gone into the statutes and you actually read the statutory text and you say, well, I think I know what that means, but what is good faith? You know, in every uniform commercial code transaction, there must be good faith. Well, what does that mean? You know, there are very few statutes that on their face have everything you need to know within the text of that statute. That's where these sources come in. These sources come in and help you understand what does that text mean. What are the courts saying about that text? How do they interpret that text? What are folks in the law review community writing about these statutes and what they mean and how they're applied? What are some of the publications that, the authored publications that West puts out that are written by law school professors, that are written by noted and respected judges? What are those sources saying about this statute? All of those things are what we call secondary resources. Secondary resources that you go to try to understand what the text means, what the statute is trying to tell you, and how it's been applied. And so what I'd like to do is just get on to Westlaw to show you how these things work. Westlaw is our online computerized legal research service. We have as Alan said, we've got into the 30,000 plus number of databases right now. And for statutes, we have annotated statutes for all 50 states, the District of Columbia, Puerto Rico, the Virgin Islands, and Guam. So we are a comprehensive statute resource on Westlaw. And to give you, what I'd like to do is again, go online here and give you an idea of what these enhancements look like. I'm probably timed out here. So let me just see. I may need to re-sign on.
So,
again.
Joe, what you're saying is that even though you don't publish our statutes in Alaska, we're one of the non-red states.
Right.
That you still, for Westlaw customers in Alaska, put together a reference point for us on statutes. And so what you're saying is that this is kind of an indicator of what it might look like if it were in print as well.
Exactly. I mean, okay. Exactly. Because the way that it is right now is, you know, the annotations and the features, the editorial enhancements that you currently have in your statute set, we have more of that kind of thing. And so because we aren't publishing your statutes, we haven't neatly integrated that into your statute set. You'd have to go to other sources on Westlaw to find that. So as a publisher of statutes, what we would do is pull all of that together and put that into the statutes to make it a more robust product, to make it easier to use so that attorneys or lay folks who are using the statutes don't have to go all over the place to try to find out, you know,
something
what
that would be helpful too, because I'm real visual. I don't know if it'd help others, but it might, would be if you got a chance to send us just an example of a statute book, let's say Oregon or Washington or one of those that we could sit there and look at.
Sure.
And compare it in terms of, because that's how you think of it, as you go to pull the statute book, and we do that all the time in my committee, and you're looking through and you look at the annotations or, you know, whatever the resource is.
What I can do is send you, because there are many, many jurisdictions now where both West and Lexis compete, and I can send you a volume from of Lexus and the same volume from West. You can see what the difference looks like. You can pick a state if you like, and I'll send it to you. But what we have online on Westlaw right now for Alaska statutes is information that we license from Lexus.
Right.
So what we're providing in those states in that map that aren't red, we're providing our customers with Lexus data under a licensing agreement.
Right.
They do the same with us, except we don't license our annotated material to them. So we need to be in a place where we aren't relying on, and they are moving in the same direction as
mm-hmm.
well.
Yeah.
Right now, that's what Alaska statutes look like on Westlaw. They look like Lexus.
Here's maybe an example of what it would actually look like, the resources that we put on, that are available on Westlaw for statutes that we publish. I mean, here's West North Carolina statutes annotated. This is a brand new statute set that we put together from scratch. It's 22 pages long, so it's a very this is a fairly large statute, and the real crux of what we're able to bring to statutes like this is in our notes of decision.
Mm-hmm.
These are all of the cases that that have been reported in North Carolina that interpret or reference this statutory section 25.1-201. And you can see what we have here at the beginning is sort of an index that our editors have put together. This is a really unique feature to our statutory products. What this allows the user to do is to see cases that are kind of organized by topic, and you can quickly find your way to different topics. For example, if I wanted to look at these UCC cases that deal with warehouse receipts, I can quickly click there, and here are all the cases that reference, in one fashion or another, the topic of warehouse receipts in North Carolina. Now, this first case talks about warehouse receipts not needing to be very detailed in terms of what's on them to be considered a valid receipt. Now, if that happens to be the issue that you are looking at, what does my receipt need to look like? What would be considered a valid? Well, the law in this case is going to help you understand what that is, and on Westlaw you can link directly to that case. And when you're in that case, you can see that these notes here are what we call headnotes. They are written by our attorney editors who are reviewing and reading every one of these cases for publication in our reporter contracts, as well as for integration as a reference into our statutes products. And the point of law that we were looking at involved the nature and requisites of what a receipt must look like. And this is a point of law that our editor pulled out and made a headnote out of. You can go directly to this point in the case and hear what the court has to say about these documents and what they need to look like. This is a very powerful tool in terms of supplementing what your statutes research online would look like and what the courts are saying about these statutes and how they're being interpreted.
The other piece, if I can interrupt, Joe,
mm-hmm.
is that the key number system that we've been talking about that has these 90,000 different lines of jurisprudence, if you click on, if that is in fact what you're looking for, if you click on the key number there, 403 key number 12, where you'll be directed to this thing as a kind of a template, and you can collect every headnote that's ever been assigned to that key number in all jurisdictions. You can pick all states, you can pick California only, or you can pick whatever you want, your own state or other states. And in a state like Alaska, which doesn't have a great deal of case law,
right.
it's very helpful to be able to get
precedence,
precedence outside of the state.
Sure.
This is something that is fairly new to our statutes. We only started doing it. In fact, North Carolina was the first state where we did it. it was about 5 or 6 years ago, and it was so popular with the practitioners that we've retrofitted every code that we have online now,
right,
including the United States code, to include that feature. So we pulled up 7 head notes from what, from where?
I went through and just picked out some other
from Minnesota only? I didn't
head notes or other cases that cite the same head note to take a look at. And this one, again, is another one from North Carolina. So, you know, you can see here that, again, you're quickly brought into, here's the point of law, warehouse receipts. And, again, you've got another case dealing with that same issue.
Yeah, so, if I can interject on a couple of things, too, mm-hmm. as it relates to case law that helps you, Lisa, you talked about, you know, how you look through this myriad of cases and statutes and code. Say right, if you go right back to where you were on that mm-hmm. one case, Joe. Let's go back to
you that. Want one more? This is the case back to.
Great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This, notice also what we tell our users so they can make their decisions faster is this case in fact still good law or not? So we let them know that very quickly through what we call the Keysight service. And this, we always tell you at the top whether there's any procedural history with this case. Lawmakers a lot of times lawmakers and attorneys themselves have a hard time looking at a particular case and seeing what's really been the procedural path. And so recently, just in this last 2 months, West has rolled out, you know, you say that you've often heard that a picture is worth 1,000 words. And West has done that now. If you click on this graphical user interface, this particular case, for instance, shows you what's happened with this case with a flow chart. And so you can now look at any case in the country that has any procedural history, and you can quickly see what has been the path of that case. If it's been reversed, it'll show it coming back down. If it's been bifurcated at all, you'll see it split. So
does Shepherd? Do you guys produce the Shepherds or where?
We do Keysight.
Our product is called Keysight.
Okay.
And what that is a citator that essentially tells you, is this case good law, and how have other cases treated it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So same method, but called Keysight. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, and this is pretty straightforward because this will just shows you that this case was appealed to the Supreme Court, but the Supreme Court did not take it on for review. But where this graphical presentation comes really handy is in some of the seminal federal cases like Miranda, that established Miranda warnings. The cases that come off of that, you'll see it's like almost looks like a family tree,
mm-hmm.
you know, the different. And if you're just looking at that in a linear fashion, like you would see in a Shepherd.
Or Roe v. Wade or
Webster.
Or
Roe v. Wade
or
any of the big federal cases or state cases for that matter. A lot of times it's really hard to put together, you know, to follow what the history of it was.
But Shepherd's is out there too, and we could access that too, and that's great too. I mean, we're policymakers, but the point is this is more centralized, and it's on the computer, and that's helpful, and that's the product you have that we use by contract already. I mean, it's at our disposal.
You need to have it at your fingertips.
Yeah,
sure. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's a way for you to use that. You know, something else we've loaded on recently, do you have a way to get into the 50-state surveys that shows these folks how?
Yeah. Where did I see that?
Boy, there's one other thing that these folks ought to notice in this results.
Legal sponsored domestic.
And we may want to come back to that.
Why don't we do that?
But if you go back to that one case there, also notice the other thing that we're doing when you run a particular query on Westlaw is if you notice over on the left-hand side, there's something there called Results Plus that takes your query and it runs it in all of the other secondary sources for you and tells you how this case may apply in some of these other treatises that we've published, like Williston on Contract,
mm-hmm.
or ALR, or Causes of Action, and those
things. Yeah, I think this is great. I mean, thinking about it in terms of being a lawmaker, because Alaska law is so young, as a policymaker, when you're sitting back and you come up with an idea, maybe you read about it or a constituent gives it to you, and you want to go ahead and write law, this is the kind of tool that would be helpful to see. I always ask my staff, what are other states doing? You know, can we get a matrix to see, have other states, like right now we're looking at some of the laws in terms of how do other states treat serial child molesters? What are some of the things that have been put into place? And then I want to know, have they been upheld? Mm-hmm. Because that's an area where it's very controversial. And some of the things that have been employed, whether it's scarlet lettering on the license plates or different things like that, have been thrown out. And so this is the kind of thing where I can see right away that I can go to and put in, you know, a series of, in the natural language, you know, this is kind of what I'm trying to do. What are other states doing? And then to see what has been upheld. And that way I don't have to go down that rabbit trail. If they're in the Ninth Circuit particularly, I kind of can see where this would head. Why not try a different route and not waste my time?
Yep. And another way we can help you in that regard is not only show you what other states have done in this area, but we also show you what your law looked like back in 1991. So if you're looking at a statute and you say, gee, this is how it reads today, but, you know, 10 years ago I heard we had done something different and you want to know that, you can go into this statutes annotated 1991 database and run a search and pull up that statute and see what it looked like, what it read. And that time, that type of historical research is very, very difficult to do. I mean, you would have had to have someone save pocket parts.
Well, you have Max Grunberg on our committee that Max has literally, well, you know, he served for however many years back then, so he has these files, and he will pull out stuff. He will come to the committee and say, well, let me just tell you, that law was changed back in 1975, and here's the reason why. And, you know, but short of a Max Grunberg, the rest of us are...
And if you...
At the library.
Yeah, that's another one, too. Let me tell you.
Right.
Yeah.
But I tell you where that's... I'll give you a concrete example of how as legislators that applies. I had a call from someone from Wisconsin who said, hey, I was a guide years ago hunting, and I wasn't licensed. So I was my own guide, and I got a felony. And it was only a two-year block when I got that.
Yes.
Before that, there wasn't a statute, and after.
Yeah, right.
And that's BS. I mean, I want that. That's crap that for only 2 years in the last 50 they had it. And this would have been great because my staff had to look and call and what was the... And to be able to say, yeah, here's the statute.
Yep.
This is when it changed. I mean, that really, that would save a day of time. Now, that add up a staff salary. I mean, this is pure money saving.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. And another way of sort of doing the same thing through a slightly different lens is you can see on the statute that we're looking at that it was amended in 1995. Well, you can actually go... We historically maintain all of those laws, okay?
Computer.
And the beauty of this is, you know, you can go through and...
Actually, it's on an old Mac.
Yeah.
Remember those Apple IIe's from the 80s? That's what it's on.
We've got a great mimeograph machine. Though, so
not only can you go back and read the law, but we'll show you the language that has been added in that law, added to the statutes. We surround that by angle brackets with a plus sign. And if something's been deleted, we surround that by angle brackets with a minus sign. So you can tell, you know, exactly what the law did to the statute, how it changed it.
How many years do you go back?
We generally are back, I believe it's at least 10 years.
Oh, it's more than 89.
I think it's about 89.
16.
Yeah, because let me see if I go back here. We coincide with what the statute...
Oh, there's an 89 law up there on that particular one.
There's a whole there's a whole tab devoted to Norm Rothberg Amendment.
Yep.
Yeah, in Alaska.
So here we have...
own tab.
Here we carry...
Pluses, no minuses.
Heather's boss has done more legislation than any legislator. He's constantly changing, so I think he owes you money.
We need to amend section...
Yeah.
I'd like to amend my amendment.
In this case, we go back to 1986. For statutes in North Carolina. So it's, again, very, very useful tool. Another thing we'll do for statutes research online is, you know, when the pocket supplements come out or the new books come out, they carry cases, but that's sort of frozen in time as of the time that it was reprinted. Well, we have a feature here called Last 60 Days under our cases. that will point up for you any cases that have been decided within the last 60 days that affect this statute.
Wow.
And here in North Carolina, we have a case here that was decided, well, here we go, July 15th, interpreting, again, this general definition provision. So, you know, you can stay as current as is possible by marrying up the print, you know, with the online, and we provide...
The cases get put up online within about 24 hours of receipt from the courts. And as soon as they're online, they go into that last 60 days feature so that we can connect them to the statute that quickly. These are really right up, you know, up to the minute, very new.
It's kind of neat, too, as a lawmaker, if you pass a bill, to be able to go through and see how it's being interpreted. And because it's not always the way you want it interpreted, and that gives you an opportunity to clarify.
And we're not here to talk about rates. That's not our purview. We're a judiciary committee. We use the you know, this for research only, obviously. But to that end, your rates and a lot of the rates, they are, in terms of what you have to do, you're innovative every year, right? I mean, like, this is a new
sure.
program in itself.
So we're
I can't imagine what that costs.
West R&D budget is probably a quarter of $1 billion a year.
Every year.
Just trying to keep ahead of all the vast amounts of law that are coming out and ways to interpret it. Think of this graphical user interface there that we just did with procedural history of a case. Well, that's on every case in Westlaw now. That's phenomenal. Think of all the case law there. That now there's this little diagram.
And we will have that for statutes, too. So you'll get a graphical display of the history of the statute. Now, that's not there now.
Well, we don't use you in statutes, but you're saying any state that does has that luxury.
Exactly.
Right. But your legislative reference attorney have use of Westlaw, and it's always good to... for them to see everything that is here, especially for you.
One of the things that I want to, and Ledge Council will be that they're the decision-making body, as you guys understand, in terms of contracts and things like that. But one of the things I want to emphasize to Representative Codd and the others that are on that committee is that I think whatever we do, we ought to have a contract that includes passwords for members of the legislature. Because, yeah, it's great that the reference library has that, and we can always, and 9 out of 10 times we don't have the time, but it's nice if you, I mean, even to have one in the Judiciary Committee room where members can come in and use a computer and take an hour out of their day if they want to and just kind of see what things look like.
Right.
A lot of members like doing that.
Yep.
So.
Yeah,
we've done arrangements like that before.
And I promised these guys that we'd wrap up at 2:30.
Sure.
So,
is there anything else you'd like us to show you as to the use of Westlaw? Nancy, was there anything that you...
I've learned incredible.
And what about what you offer? Because we don't know the contract. How would any of us know that? What do we have from Westlaw? Because I think that was one of the reasons you came, is to say, hey, legislators and staff, did you know that we're the contractee for certain things, and this is what we offer? Obviously, web. We can get on Westlaw on the web, and then we can do all the research.
Who can, though? Is it just Ledge Research right now?
Right now, you just have legislative
legal
reference
library,
or legislative reference attorneys on that, and they have a couple of passwords. And there are programs where we have in your legislative reference library right now, where you purchase a number of state statutes from us and other treatises in print that are in there that you have access to.
Okay.
And there is a program that we're willing to do as electronic legal research becomes more widespread. Some of the print research, the print books, are declining. Well, as they decline, our inventory schedules get erratic. And so we've been working with the libraries across the country to say, hey, if you'll agree to keep these books online, we'll save the state, we'll save the library 50% of the ongoing upkeep, and in the same time, we'll also provide you Westlaw legislators that will give you unlimited use of Westlaw. So you actually can have much more Westlaw in the future by doing that with us, and it would help
But now you would keep some, because I can tell you that, you know, at least in our committee room, well, actually, we're the only room in the whole building, the House Judiciary Committee room. The Senate Judiciary doesn't even have one, but with Pacific reporters. Mm-hmm. So, and being able to go to it tangibly is important to a lot
sure.
of people.
And, right.
And then statutes. I mean, I think every lawmaker has their own section mm-hmm. of statutes, and it is nice to go to those, particularly during a meeting, especially, at least right now, we're not computerized.
Yeah.
Next year we will be, but we're not, and so...
So it's on the floor of the House.
Right,
when
or in your committee
finally.
Meeting, and so you can't really just click on, but so you reach behind you and grab a statute and can be looking at it.
Right.
So you're saying that it wouldn't be entirely no print, but you're saying if you could do...
Oh my gosh, you can use, basically, you can keep the print that you currently have, but the cost of keeping that print is $20,000, $30,000 a year.
For the updates.
Okay.
For the updates. And what we've advocated is that you can, to the library there, is that we'll cut the cost of those books in half, the upkeep of that, say $15,000 or so, and use that so that the legislatures can have access to Westlaw.
Right.
Unlimited access.
Yep.
With that other. So your net outgo to West is about the same, maybe a couple of hundred dollars more a month.
And then
you keep the print.
And that's where, again, you never came on that rationale to meet with us, and you know, as we've just kind of, we don't deal with the money aspect of it, but it's good to know just as legislators, because we manage our own offices, and then we care about Ledge Council and what they do. That's another committee that talks about spending.
Sure.
And we all have a say. I mean, just like we had a say on the governor buying things. I mean,
did you say
the jet?
Yeah.
What say did we have? Yeah, that's true. Well, I said buy it, but anyway. But in terms of this, I believe, and I always have, before I even met any of you, I've known Alan, but separate from that, that every legislator should have access on the web to, whether it be West, whatever the company is, West is our service, and that we should have one host of books that if we have to supplement. And so I wish, I mean, the leadership isn't, Lisa's in leadership now, but in the past that's fallen on deaf ears. But that's just my view, and I would be willing to go to Ledge Council to say we have to have access to that. Not on your behalf, because that's special interest, but in the sense of just having access to this. Because it would be glorious to be able to, anytime you want, look, and not trudge over to the Ledge Library.
Right.
Well, one other thing I want to show you, because this is something that's brand new to West, and it's unique to Westlaw, that is a great tool, is not only can we show you the court cases that have interpreted these statutes, but we have other citing court documents. And essentially, in this case, what we have here is a collection of briefs that are filed with the North Carolina Supreme and Appellate Court that in one fashion or another advocate or argue for a particular interpretation of a statute. Now, this is really great, because if there is sort of a gray area and you're looking, well, what does good faith mean?
Mm-hmm.
And you can look into this brief and you can say, well, now this lawyer tried to argue that good faith meant this and this and this, and the court said, uh-uh. Then you know not to try to make
right.
that same mistake. So this breaks it down, you know, even further to see how lawyers within
it
your
really
particular
pulls back
and
the curtain.
Litigants within a particular state have tried to apply a particular statute and how they've argued it. What there is no other service that has as great a collection of briefs as Westlaw. And again,
see, and that's critical when you're doing definitions in a statute too, because you know you kind of know the result you're looking for, and if it's not the result that the court's saying you can't do, but how you get at it, you can construct that definition in a certain way to get the result you want.
Absolutely.
That's great.
Absolutely. So again, nobody really considers or traditionally thinks of briefs as a resource for interpreting what the meaning of a statute is, but now you can see how they're interconnected and what you can learn and glean from how these have been proposed to be, how the litigants have proposed interpretations of the statute and how that may affect you as a drafter.
Get a real advocate's point of view,
sure.
which is something you don't get out of a judicial.
Oh, this has been great, guys. Before you click off, could you go to AOL? My password's Go Vikings. You need to check my mail if you don't mind.
Well,
thank you so much.
We wanted to, one, set the tone for information. This was information, as we're going to do with both judiciary committees,
So you have a better understanding of the size of
the company.
That's what
I was going to say. So you're meeting with Senate Judiciary tomorrow.
In Fairbanks.
Okay.
And that's it at, right at this stage.
And then Ledge Council at some point.
At some point in the future. Because without them being able to come up here, you wouldn't have this information. So
yeah,
we
thank
wanted
you
the exchange
very much.
And the size of the company and what they've been able to do across the country for their size and capabilities. You wouldn't know that if you didn't have it. And so we're very happy to be here to present that to you.
I have a question. If all things worked out and Westfall became the provider, what kind of expectations do we have of our drivers? How far back could we go and be able to have the kind of access that you would have for last year? I mean, where are we now? Would we be able to go back to the early 90s or 86?
Yeah, I think I could probably.
If we don't have to start from today with that archive. We would have the ability to go back.
That's correct.
Right.
We have ability to go back a certain distance because we have been providing a CD-ROM that's West. Proprietary and has been annotated, but we have, for historical purposes, we have, for the laws, we go back to, I think, 89, I'm not sure, for the, it's probably about 94 for the statute's historical databases. Now,
right.
I'm not 100% sure on that, but it's in those ranges.
So significantly, anyway.
It's not trivial.
No.
Not trivial.
Alan, do you need to conclude?
Yeah, I guess we do need to wrap up. But I do want to thank you. Hopefully we've met the expectation that you asked us to come up and meet with you folks and just share with you the information that you currently have available at your disposal from West. And we do want to make ourselves available to you as your representative locally here. And Rick and Joe at the state government level. We do business with the state, the courts and municipalities as well. And these are tools that you folks need to be aware of that are at your disposal for working with state cases and statutes and code. And I encourage you to look at your other suppliers that you have, Lexis as well, so you see what their offerings are from their statute side as well as their case law side, because I understand you use those folks as well, too. But there are a lot of great things here that have put West in the position that we are today as the leader of this information. So,
do you do AG opinions, too, under the key?
Yes, we do
have
the AG opinions.
Because that's always a whole separate.
But we do appreciate our business relationship with you and look forward to continuing in the future So we thank you very much.
Thank you for coming. Very
coming.
Nice. Great.
Thank you, Judy.
Judy. I love it when she doesn't get to talk back.
Thank you, guys.
I want to know where do you get that
lot to come all the way up here.
Yeah.
Our pleasure.
Thank you. Appreciate it
very much.
Oh, great.
Great. Let me give you my card. I know Max through.
What's that?
I've been in private practice.
They didn't know. They didn't hear about that. They just wanted to. They called and said, do you need any information? 6 months ago,
I wanted to find out if we could get more passwords. Started the same job you did.